Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey y'all, welcome back to a Tuesday, May 10th, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas podcast, where I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee. On today's show, it's Mr. Evan Swords and Jarrett Bailey to talk all things NFL on this edition of the podcast. 49ers, some comments about Trey Lance and if coaches were underwhelmed last year with him. The Steelers taking Kenny Pickett in the first round. What does the immediate future look like for Pittsburgh? Where's their hat at? Where's Pittsburgh going in a very crowded AFC North? If the receiver position is becoming more like the running back position and how it's valued around the league, thanks to Peter King of NBC Sports with his great piece you can go check out there, that had a lot of great info on the matter and if that's where the NFL is going. Giants releasing James Bradbury, ESPN doubleheaders from Monday Night Football, and then ranking the NFC West after the draft. So we get into all that and more on this edition of the Chase Thomas podcast. So before we get started in today's episode, make sure you go ahead, if you are already subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or however you get your podcast, great. And if you are, please hit that pause button right now and leave this show a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if that is how you are listening to this very podcast. It helps other people find the show and helps this show continue to grow. So please, please, please go ahead and do that today if you could. Also, you can find us on YouTube, youtube.com, the Chase Thomas Podcast. That easy, that simple. Go check it out today. All of our videos, all of our video content over there on YouTube, youtube.com, the Chase Thomas Podcast. And then, of course, read me. Oh, yeah, you can read me. All my great sports stuff. SportsRenaissanceMan.substack.com. SportsRenaissanceMan, that's me. Type in your email, become a subscriber today, and never miss any written content from me. I think that'll do it. Follow me on Twitter at Chase_Thomas, and like the Facebook page at Facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter. All right, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back here on Enveloping the NFL with old friend Jarrett Bailey. Jarrett, good evening, sir. How are you?
Fantastic. You know, Swords, I got a bone to pick with your fan base over the past couple days.
I've got a bone to pick with my fan base literally every day when I wake up. All the time. So you're not going to find some staunch defender of them on my side of the world. I've got a list of things I could say. I could talk about them. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what's going on, Jarrett?
Well, yeah, you know what? Not to be that guy, but you know, I read the playthrough, and there's time for that. It's coming later. You know, clearly Jarrett didn't read the outline like I did. Yeah, I'm over here reading outlines, Swords. as everyone knows that I do. God.
He does. Yeah.
Also here, that guy right there with the hat backwards on YouTube.com, the Chase Thomas Podcast, that you can find him there.
That's actually my name. Hat backwards on Chase Thomas podcast.com.
Yeah. Evan Swords. Evan, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good. Good. I am dog sitting.
Okay, what kind of dog?
A little, just absolutely adorable poodle.
Okay.
I have a photo, but she is hiding in the background right now.
In the other room. What's her name?
Her name is Raya. I think, like, the last dragon or something. I don't
I believe you.
Super cute dog, though. I would like to say, I think I'm. It's incumbent on me to tell you this. I went on a hike yesterday, Mr. Chase
Outdoors
Thomas.
Evan is back. Outdoor He's logged swords. Into the chat.
Outdoor Swords.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How was it? Where'd you go?
Griffith Park. So it does the uh-huh. like the Los Angeles, like, you know, I don't know if you ever played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, but like the Griffith the observatory you could drive up to and, like, you know, see.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But hey, how about this? More photos, right? I'm a photo guy now. Mm-hmm. That's what I am. I'm a photo guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you remember that from Grand Theft Auto, but it was literally in there.
Okay.
But yeah, it overlooks the entire city of, like, literally everything in LA. It's really dope. And, you know, obviously you see the Hollywood sign on the right and everything, so.
So how'd you feel? Did you feel good? Did you feel one with nature? Like, is this going to be a more consistent thing that you're getting out there? Are we going to get you some L.L. Bean cargo pants? Are we going to get you some Patagonia snapbacks?
Do they zip to the L.L. Bean cargo pants? Do they have, like, I can zip the knees off?
They have that for Eddie Bauer. I have those.
Of course you do. Nah, man, the hike was good. It was like 5 miles total,
yeah.
About a little over 1,000 feet elevation. So, you know, it was a
Is
nice
this hike. A girlfriend thing, though? Is she a big hiker? So now you're going to have to be drawn out?
Okay. No. She's absolutely not an outdoors person. That's why we are so mm-hmm. good together.
Interesting.
But it is a very LA thing. So, you know, she's okay. been here for a week. So I wanted to show her. You know, like I said, you get to see the Hollywood sign pretty well. It looks over, I mean, literally the entire city. You know, the photo obviously doesn't really, you know, do it justice.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, to give you a concept of, like, what you're looking at, like...
Oh, that's nice.
That's downtown LA in the background.
I think I've seen this park before. It's a pretty popular
everyone
park.
Has.
I think a lot of people do it. Okay.
Yeah, everyone has. So it was cool to see that, But no, I just wanted to show her, like, some LA stuff. I am, you know, in a lot better shape than I thought I was, too, because I was with, we went with a buddy, and he was getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
A little bit going
You
up.
Spend 3 hours in the gym every day. What do you mean you were surprised by how in shape you are?
Ask anybody that lifts weight.
Yeah.
Lifting weight and cardio are very different things.
True.
Very different things. Like, I can maybe run a mile right now. Maybe.
Maybe.
I absolutely could not.
Jarrett, you're not a distance guy. You can't. You're not out here.
I'm not a get up and move guy.
absolutely not. There's no reason.
You're in the right profession then. That's yeah, exactly. We don't have to get up and move very often.
Well, you know, I used to be big into the gym. Like my first couple years of college, like freshman year, I was there a lot. I got pretty toned. I would run about 2.5 miles every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd lift. So, I mean, I got pretty toned, and then once COVID hit, like, obviously we couldn't go to the gym. And then once it came back, like, I would still rock climb and whatnot, but, like, I think I just realized lifting just wasn't, like, my favorite thing to do. So, but rock climbing's fun. I recommend that. That's
Never
fun.
Done that. Okay. I am 31 now, and I just, there are certain things, the gym or anything else, I pull stuff, and I'll tear stuff, and I get nervous because I'm like, I am... far more brittle than I used to be. The only thing I can still do consistently that I'm like, I'm fine, is running. And the thing I want to get into this summer is
hold
swimming.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. You weren't joking. You're 31.
I am 31.
I feel like I'm in the twilight zone right now.
How old did you think I was?
Because he looks so young, right?
I thought you were like my... I thought you were like 24, 25. Like, I thought you were my age.
No. Yeah, no, sir. I'm engaged. Like, I'm... yeah, I'm extremely washed. Eddie Bauer is on the agenda most weeks. Like...
literally has Matlock on a poster.
I just thought that was his thing, man. Like, I...
It is. It's his 31-year-old thing.
That took me for a loop. I thought, wow, not right.
Not to be that guy on a sports
skincare
podcast.
Routine, Jarrett.
No. That was a compliment, by the way, Chase.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chase, you do understand that running is like the one thing that if you continue to do it will destroy your legs and knees.
No, that's not true. That's a fault. That's not true. That's not a thing. That's a myth. It's a myth that arthritis is actually they found.
No, not arthritis.
What are you talking about?
Your knees. Just a lot of wear and tear on the knees, bro.
Worst wear and tear is putting on too much weight. And your knees can't handle it as much if you get a little too heavy, and then
the alternative would be lifting weights like an adult.
I know where you're going with this, Evan. There's like a huge disconnect. There's like a rivalry between the running community and the lifting.
There's
community.
No rivalry.
There's a rivalry. I'm telling you, it's a strong one. You see it all the time in Knoxville.
I'm not going to partake in either of them.
When you're crossing the street at the Y, you never
Jared,
know.
You know, Jared, I respect that, right? You know, when you know, you're like, hey, that's not my vibe.
You know, man, I'm content just being an average sized dude. You know, I'm not huge. I'm not, you know. What's our tone? I'm not lean, like just sculpted out of marble. I'm just gonna cover all my insecurities with tattoos. That's what I've started to do.
Hey, so. I like to do that too. So
yeah,
that
yeah.
Did you just get a new one, Jarrett?
Then the latest one I have is this one. If you can see it, we go this way. It's just a small one.
Okay, is that a sword, a dagger? What am I looking at?
Yeah, it's just a hand holding like a dagger.
Okay, so you're gonna do a sleeve. That looks like a future sleeve situation.
Well, this one is a half.
Yeah.
So once I can't really show you like this without it looking completely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I could not withstand the pain. I'm just going to go out there and say it.
Once you get one, you want more.
I've heard that. That makes sense to me. That makes sense.
I just got my third, and the more I get, the less I want. It hurts. I want all the tattoos, but like it doesn't get better. Like it hurts. Like the list last time for this, like this little tiny one where she's just doing the lines of the paw print.
Oh yeah, that's
like,
the worst.
Just the dragging of the needle. It's the worst.
And that's a thinner needle too. So that probably didn't tickle, but you know, I did all of this in one sitting and it took like 8 hours or something like that.
What do you do for 8 hours?
Watch Disney Channel, ate ice cream sandwiches and listen to One Direction.
Do you have to talk to the tattoo artist while that's
going?
Oh,
I love my point. So I got this when I was still in college, and the dude who did this did all of my stuff. I loved my tattoo artist. He moved to Washington State, so I can't really get anything from him now, but he was the coolest dude ever. So yeah, I could absolutely talk to him for 8 hours. It was great.
No, but like, would you?
Depends
like, did
on
you ever, like, did you, cause I'm like the most social person on earth, right?
I'm a very social person. Yeah.
But do you think like eventually I would be kind of like, all right, like, can I like watch YouTube or something?
There was more conversational parts, but there was also more parts where I was just watching Zach and Cody and eating an ice cream sandwich. That was the coolest part though too. He's like, all right, this is gonna take a while, so make sure you eat a little bit of sugar. So he gave me an ice cream sandwich, and I just thought it was great. Stocked me up on chocolate milk. My girlfriend at the time was there. She ordered Chinese. She sat through the entire thing too, by the way.
Oh wow,
yeah, what a trooper she was. But yeah, no, it was an interesting experience. It was very fun.
What's not been fun for the last week for 49ers fans is that coaches have reportedly been underwhelmed by Trey Lance in practice. We have to start with Evan's 49ers here. What do you make of this latest report that Lance was underwhelming over the past year? And
Rich Scangarello sucks at his job. He's
bad news
bad.
For the Kentucky Wildcats. He's the new.
He's bad. He's literally like look at what he's done while he's been there. Do we think that he is the reason why Jimmy Garoppolo succeeded? No, Jimmy was going to be as good as he was in those situations because of Kyle and the scheme and Jimmy's talents as they were. Rich Scangarello hasn't made a quarterback better in I don't even know how long. Look at when he was with the 49ers prior. Like he, so here's once again, you know, I have to like warning. I am not an analyst. I'm not like a insider, but what I hear, Rich Scangarello never liked Trey. He doesn't like that style of QB. Does he not like skin pigment? I don't know. Maybe, who knows? I'm not going to put that out there. Maybe I will. But really though, no joke. Like it is very rumored that like he just doesn't like mobile quarterbacks. And that's what Trey is. So I'm not worried about it at all. I want to slow down my words while I say this for anyone that's listening. I don't take any of that seriously. Mm. No one does. No one should. It's not coaches. It was coach. It was Rich Scangarello, and he will not put his words out in the public because he has no balls. He just wants to say that on little podcasts, oh, I like this type of QB. I like the accurate QB. I don't like mobile QBs. Yeah, you wanted Mac Jones. No one cares. Now go to Western Kentucky. If anyone
no,
is
no Kentucky, the UK. He's okay. at the UK with Whatever. Will Levis.
If you're ever curious about why Rich Scangarello is not in the NFL anymore, remember that he is currently talking bad about Trey Lance, right? Which means he was saying, "Hey, Kyle, you're taking the wrong quarterback." And does Kyle seem like the kind of guy that likes being told what to do, or that he's wrong?
Kyle looks like the guy who sits at the end of the bar, angry that he can't smoke.
Yeah,
he does have a smoker's face now. He's been through a lot. Much. I mean,
he has that like Barack Obama beginning of the presidency, end of the presidency.
If you look at him from the Washington days with his
super
dad,
young.
Yes.
No, but all jokes aside, I genuinely believe that Rich really probably pissed some people off, and there's a reason why he had to go to college.
Yeah.
Because look at every other Shanahan, McVay, et cetera, coordinator. They all get promotions. They all go somewhere. And all of a sudden, he's not there, and he's not in the NFL. He goes to college. No one understands why he's going to Kentucky. And he doesn't like Trey Lance? Come on. Who do you think, other than Jarrett Bailey, because his takes when it comes to quarterbacks are just asinine, who do you think is going to have the better season this year? The quarterback who is on, how many wins did the Jets have last year? Three?
Five.
Did the Jets really have five last year?
I want to say they did, maybe four.
What number pick did they have? Yeah. Let's go with that. They had the number two pick, number three
four.
Pick, number
four, yeah.
Okay, so the number four draft pick Jets, right, the Chicago Bears, who didn't really get much better, or Trey Lance.
Four wins last year, by the way.
Yeah, the four-win Jets, who do we think is going to have a better year this year out of the three?
Out of the three of who? Bears, Jets, and Niners?
Yeah, and of the quarterbacks. Like, who's set up for success more?
Well, I think it's a distant last for Justin Fields. Right. And then I think I would guess Wilson 1, Lance 2.
I would say, well, we'll get there. But I wholly disagree. I mean, there's no chance.
I'm okay. I'm open to the argument. I guess it's just more of like I'm all in on the Jets receiving core now. Like, and then giving him Breece Hall, who's probably the best running back in the draft. I think the offensive line's going to be better. They need Mekhi Becton healthy, but I love New York's draft.
I get that.
If it doesn't work this year with the amount, like Denzel Mims being his number five, like, and it's never going to work for Zach Wilson in the NFL.
I get the argument. But my point, I guess, that I would say is a lot of talk lately has been talking about, oh, the Niners are not – they don't believe in Trey Lance. They don't believe in his – I mean, the words were deep ball accuracy, right, and arm strength. If you watch the short amount of games that he played in, 2.5 games, if you watch what he did in practice, the things that were most exciting were his deep ball accuracy and arm strength. And they're trying to say that that's not – like that they're worried about that. Like it's all bull hoo-ha. I can't swear on this podcast.
Yeah, bull hoo-ha.
Yeah, bull as hoo-ha. They say. It's stupid. It's so.
Man, I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens. I just want to see him play. Like, I'm over this conversation. I'm over the theoretical Trey Lance conversation. I am so over that. I need to, like, we all as a NFL media collective just need to see Trey Lance play football for the San Francisco 49ers.
We do.
Like, we need to get there. In terms of your team, though, Jarrett, I felt
bad
for you.
Chase, go ahead. Before we leave the 49ers, I do want to say, because one thing that I'm surprised you didn't bring up before we left the 49ers, maybe you didn't see it, but the rumored schedule for the 49ers for week 1 and 2.
We got the Falcons in week 2, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have to see the Trey Lance experience a little more up close than you were hoping.
I mean, I want to see it. There's no not hoping. Like, this Falcons season, I have no emotional investment. Like, it's so great because we are trying to lose football games this upcoming year. This is not a real season for the Atlanta Falcons for the first time in my entire adult life. But just there's no reason to have a strong emotional investment because this is a all-time rebuilding year for them. So I don't know. I'm not gonna live and die week to week as I've been over the last 15 or so years. But we'll see. I'm excited. That's gonna be fun. Jarrett, Your team, though, I thought about sending you a DM in our Twitter DMs during the draft last week, was that you were adamant. You were like, the one guy I just don't want them to take in the first round. You were like, Malik Willis or this person or this person. You were just like, the one person I do not want is Kenny Pickett in round one. Mm-hmm. And the Pittsburgh Steelers were like, sorry, Jarrett. We got to do this, fam. Kenny Pickett, come on down. First round quarterback. He has to move his locker 74 feet from where he played at Heinz Field for the Pitt Panthers for the last year. I don't know. Now that you've had some time to digest the pick, to think about Kenny Pickett and in this room, how what it means for Mitch Trubisky this fall, what it means for the Steelers' chances in the AFC North, what it means for their what that clarifies about how they see this team and where they think they can be in the not too distant future. Where are you at, Jarrett?
I'm still angry. That hasn't changed. Well, I mean, I hope he proves me wrong. That's all I can really say anymore. Like, him playing well will make me happy about the pick. Until then, like, I'm gonna be adamant that they should have taken somebody else. The fact that Malik Willis fell to the third, the fact that Matt Corral fell to the third, Sam Howell went to Washington. So, like, I would have liked to have seen all of those guys go before Pickett, because, you know, he was at Pitt for 5 years. He was good for one of them. And there was, I see a lot of people saying the Steelers didn't just draft Kenny Pickett because he went to Pitt. Yes, they did. Like, that is the largest reason. No one will convince me otherwise that that didn't play into why they took him.
So do you think they wasted a draft pick on ticket sales?
I don't think they would have taken it if they didn't see talent. Like, I'm not saying they didn't see any talent with him whatsoever. Like, obviously, being in the same building as him, I'm sure they saw something. But to say that him going to Pitt didn't play into it to it a little bit, that, no, I don't buy that for a second.
Here's what I was curious about. Like, I mean, this is an absurd question, but do you think if Pittsburgh could have seen how the quarterback class was going to go in this,
like,
draft,
if they knew, if they would have known that there wouldn't have been one taken in the second, I think so. I think they would have waited.
Yeah. Because, huh, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, that was the thing that, like, the quarterbacks never fell, right? And so, like, all of a sudden, you got to look at, if you're Pittsburgh, you're like, man, you know, Matt Corral went where?
Yeah. He went 87th overall to Carolina or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think that
Bailey, you know, Zappe went ahead of Sam Howell. Yeah. Like, that's still, I just could not believe that that
the
happened.
The Patriots just can't draft, but that's a whole different discussion.
A little bit harder when you don't have Tom Brady, huh?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. But yeah, like, look, I don't want this to sound like I'm picking on Kenny Pickett, the human being. Like, he seems like a good dude. I just, in terms of football, I just don't see it.
Well, I mean, like, hold on. We're not a personality, you know, love podcast. Like,
exactly, yeah.
We're literally talking about quarterbacks that just got drafted. Like, the true only thing you're going to be talking about here is their athletic skill.
Exactly.
And I got to say, I thought it was hilarious that this entire time they're like, oh, short hands, like, can he handle the Colts? Like, he literally played there. Literally played in Pittsburgh. The same city. So, I mean, if anything, I would maybe say that, oh, you know, maybe he's just going to be comfortable in the moment, in the weather, in the environment. Like, you know, maybe, and they look at that and they go, we like some of the intangibles. We like some of the things a lot. But I got to say, like, I just don't, like, do the Steelers have a roster? If you have a roster that you think is good enough to compete, you don't go get Trubisky. And if you decide to go get Trubisky, you're clearly admitting that you're not competing this year. So why take a quarterback in the first round? Why do that? Why not take someone that's just going to make your team better?
Well, again, I think that they see something in Pickett, and they needed something for the future. Like, Trubisky, like, I think he's going to be fine this year. Now, this raises the question, though, because Pickett is, like, 75 years old already, so they can't...
How old is he, 24?
He's 24.
Yeah, so he's 2 years older than Trey Lance.
They wouldn't benefit from benching him, and neither would he. Like, they can't bench him for 2 years. Like, the minimum that they can do is sit him for a maximum of this year, Maybe he takes over midseason if Trubisky isn't performing well enough. Maybe he wins the job in camp. Now, if he wins the job in camp, I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic because that says, okay, you know, we took this guy. He looks great. He looks pro ready. Sorry, Mitch. But, you know.
Well, I mean, let's remember, okay, Brandon Whedon was 28 years old when he was drafted.
That's that's by far the worst possible thing. He could be Brandon Whedon, Jarrett. Good luck, you know. But
yeah.
If Pickett pans out to be, I don't think he's going to pan out to be one of these elite guys. He's not going to be Justin Herbert. He's not going to be Joe Burrow. He's not going to be Kyler Murray. But if he can be Kirk Cousins, if he can be Derek Carr, that's a win. I think that's his absolute 100%. Ceiling, though. I think his absolute ceiling is those two guys. I think his floor is Case Keenum, where, you know,
I mean, those are decent.
He'll have flashes in the pan, but he's not going to be anything long term or anything that you turn to win games. So. I don't know, man. I can hope that he proves me wrong. I can hope that I've been wrong about complaining the entire time. But if Malik Willis gets in for Tennessee and starts playing well, and they both are playing at the same time, and Willis is playing better than Pickett, I'm gonna be okay. Should have taken Willis, but
I don't think we see Willis this year whatsoever. I think he is just on ice for the full year, no matter what.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes in Tennessee because, you know, they're throwing to me and Swords now on offense, so. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I've got some deceptive speed, but still,
yeah,
not gonna be much to expect.
And that's nothing against Robert Woods because Robert Woods is solid, but he's not what I want in a wide receiver one. And Treylon Burks out of Arkansas, like hardy har har. You trade away AJ Brown so you can get cheaper, so you don't have to pay him. I get that, but like we saw what Tannehill was last year without a receiver in the lineup. He was terrible. Like, when he didn't have Derrick Henry to turn around and hand the ball off to, he was god-awful. So, and look, there's been
Teams have gotten played pretty poorly without DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, hey.
It was Tennessee, and then when he went to the Cardinals, same thing. Like, you need...
Come on, Houston. He was in Houston. DeAndre Hopkins was in Houston.
I thinking of?
AJ Brown was in Tennessee.
Julio
was in Atlanta. Yeah.
Sorry.
And then Tennessee, yeah.
No, but yeah, you're right, though. You need, if you have a quality receiver, your team will do better.
Well, we'll get into that because there was a really good piece by Peter King that I want to touch on that everyone should go check out on NBC Sports today that touched on that a little bit. So we'll get into that in a second. But in terms of Pickett, what I think is so interesting is like, I think he wins the job in camp. I don't think they take him there if the plan is not to start Pickett week one. Like, we need to see what we have because I don't think they want to be in a situation where they have to wait and see. And if he's bad,
that's the thing. They don't have really the time to wait and see with him. He's 24. They got to do this
exactly.
But like, finish your thought, Chase.
If you look at the contract for Trubisky, that was a backup contract. When you look at the numbers for what Trubisky got from the Steelers, I don't think the plan was for him to just have a cakewalk into being the starter this fall. It was more of like adding depth and Ben being gone, and we just need more vets in the room, and that he was good in Buffalo. And, hey, we'll take a flyer. He's a flyer guy. Josh Dobbs is out the building. He's in Cleveland. So they just needed to replace some bodies. I think it's interesting because the Steelers are one of those teams around the NFL that I don't think have, with Rooney at the helm, have any interest in bottoming out. And I think Pickett is a we're not bottoming out kind of pick where it's like, hey, look at what we've won with the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger the last couple
the
years.
The walking
look,
mummy. That
exactly. Like, just look at what the Steelers were 2 years ago. Like, it was fool's gold. We all saw that. But it was still something where it was like they racked up the wins. And if you're a fan, you were like, well, maybe if everything works out the way we want it to, then Roethlisberger might be just good enough for us to win a Super Bowl with how stacked we are everywhere else. And when you have Minkah Fitzpatrick, when you have T.J. Watt, when you have Chase Claypool, when you have what they have, and you invested in a running back last year, Najee Harris, I think their thinking is that, like, hey, we just need to get – like, there's no way Kenny Pickett can be worse than what we've gotten from Big Ben in production the last couple of years. And if that's the case, if he's close and he is – and what we saw this past year at the other Pitt – then, look, man, the AFC North, Deshaun Watson's a question mark. Who knows with Lamar Jackson week to week. The Bengals, they're going to be really good again. But, like, hey, we don't bottom out in Pittsburgh. And that message to fans is like, we're not taking a huge risk on a Malik Willis who didn't run a pro-style offense. And that was something I was listening to other NFL draft guys. I think it was on Stock Exchange, but I could be wrong. That made a good point that Pickett was the only quarterback really among the top quarterbacks outside of Sam Howell who ran a bunch of pro stuff, that faced defenses that threw a bunch of different NFL type schemes at him, and that he was put in a lot of situations. I mean, they played Tennessee this in week two. I saw him up close and he was really good in that game, and that they won in an upset. But like, it's interesting because Malik Willis in that Liberty offense was not NFL stuff that he was running. Matt Corral was doing over 50% RPOs at Ole Miss, and he was doing a lot of freelance stuff. So it's like, with all that being said, I think I understand the order of operations for Pitt, but I also would not be surprised if this is just like a short-term stopgap to keep this thing humming and we're not bottoming out, because that's not what we do in Pittsburgh. Is that a fair characterization, Jared?
Well, the thing with the Steelers, like, there's going to be people who release their own predictions saying, oh, the Steelers are going to win six games. No, they're not. So Mike Tomlin is far too good of a coach. Yes. The Steelers have far too good of a roster. Like, they're going to win a few games that they probably shouldn't based off of Tomlin and just his coaching alone and just that never-say-die attitude that they have. Now, I will say this, though, saying that there's no way he could be worse than Ben's production. Ben, it wasn't Ben's production. It was Ben's arm. It was just his arm was absolutely dead. So it's not as if Ben was playing horrible. They, you know, obviously, they got to the playoffs by some grace of God. And when – say what you want about Ben's play last year and how it was, you know, a ghost of himself. When it was time to win games, he was still capable of doing that. He led the NFL in fourth quarter comebacks, which is still the most ungodly stat of 2021 to me. I don't know how that happened, but it did. So
Kyle Pitts not scoring a touchdown in 2021 was also a pretty wild stat.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. So,
I mean,
look, I just think that people are being a little optimistic. Like, there's a lot of people on both ends of the spectrum, like people who are diehard Pickers saying he's pro ready now. He should have came out last year. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's going to be an immediate starter. He's going to be rookie of the year. Like, there are Pittsburgh radio personalities, Andrew Filippioni, who's going to be the most annoying human being on Twitter. That's why I have him muted. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I just can't stand his takes. And as soon as they took Pickett, he said, oh, Kenny Pickett's going to win offensive rookie of the year and the Steelers are going to the playoffs. And I immediately was like, I'm done with you already, bro. Like, I'm not listening to this for 6 months, I'm done.
Okay, so here's the only thing that I'll say, because the Pittsburgh last year was an absolutely, like, one. I think it'll go down in history as one of the most bizarre seasons ever.
It was an outhouse. It was the weirdest thing.
They had wins against the Ravens twice and Buffalo Bills, but other than that, their wins were the Broncos, the Seahawks, the Browns, the Bears, right? Like the Titans, like. I apologize, Jarrett, because I know it's your team and you love them dearly, but like, you need to really understand something. They just brought in Mitch Trubisky and a rookie that not many people think is very good. Like, this idea of, oh, Mike Tomlin's going to save them. They'll still have a decent year.
He won eight games with Mason Rudolph and a duck, Evan.
It doesn't matter. That you can't do that. It doesn't just guarantee that it'll happen. They won 9 games last year, but they were a 5-win football team. Period.
That's what great coaching does for you.
And yeah, that's what great coaching does for you, and a quarterback that's been in the system for 800 years, and they know exactly what they want to do in exactly the moment they need to do it. He just physically couldn't do some of the throws. You're now going into a situation where Mitch Trubisky is bad. Like, Jarrett, I understand you might not understand that, but let me say it again. Mitch Trubisky is bad. There's not going to be a Ryan Tannehill situation here. He's not going to, oh, no, he's bad.
I don't think, I've never once claimed he's going to have a Ryan Tannehill turnaround.
Dog, he's bad, like with a capital B. So, yes, Chase, absolutely. Kenny Pickett is going to win that starting position. Not because he's some talented rookie quarterback. It's because Mitch Trubisky sucks, bro. like I promise you, the Steelers, if they win 8 wins, if they win 8 wins, build a statue. Not for Mike Tomlin, he's getting one, period. Just build a statue just for the 2022 season.
Isn't that just how many they ended up
just
winning?
A statue?
Yeah.
No, they had 9 wins last year.
Nine. Okay.
The Steelers Did I mean, once again, they somehow beat the Ravens twice when the Ravens were significantly
well, because they're not afraid of Lamar Jackson.
I know. I get that. But still, like, that should have never happened. I don't know that it happened. If they play 100 games, I don't think that they win 50. So
just another fun fact. Lamar Jackson never beat a Steelers team led by Ben Roethlisberger, and he's only beat them once in his career. But and if not for Juju Smith-Schuster fumbling in overtime after they deferred to the Ravens in overtime, he probably would still be
And like I said, Jared, there has been some magic in Pittsburgh for a very long time, and that magic has clouded your judgment. There are some... There's some dark times ahead for you and your Steelers. And I need you to just understand that it's coming.
Let me say this. I'm a realistic Steelers fan where I can look at them and say, look, this isn't a contending team. This is a team that... Now, would I be surprised if they only win, you know, 7 games or so? No. You know, I don't think that they're going to not go under 500 ever again. Although they haven't done so since 2003.
Yeah.
So, that said... You know, I have seen what Mike Tomlin can do with nothing at the quarterback position. This is better than what they had that year. And then defensively, they're still very good. And skill position-wise, they're better than what they were last year.
They do have... they have, an easy schedule next year.
That's what I'm saying, Swords.
This has done nothing for my changing of my opinion. Like, to me, an 8-win season for them is going to be impressive. Like,
I think it'll be 8 or 9 wins. I think
their quarterback situation is terrible. They're gonna that running back of yours. Like, he's a workhorse last year. He's gonna be a workhorse this year.
I was gonna say he's gonna have like two more really solid seasons, and he's gonna crap out, and then it's gonna be just another Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley situation, which is a shame because I love Najee Harris, but. Yeah, man. Like, look, skill position wise, I mean, they've got Deontay Johnson. They've got George Pickens now. Chase Claypool will more than likely be gone here in the next few years because they're going to pay Pickens or Deontay.
I wouldn't count your chickens before you hatched, before they hatched with George Pickens as a local Georgia guy and very familiar with the collegiate work of Mr. George Pickens. I would just wait and see on that one.
I'm fine with him being the third receiver. I mean, putting him in the slot, that's fine.
Oh, it's not a talent thing. Like, it's 1,000% not a talent thing. It's a other thing, an off-the-field thing. And
hey, that guy likes to party.
Well, no, it's more than that. Like, he got in a fight with a Georgia Tech player with his helmet on and got suspended for the SEC title game. He pretended to pee on a Tennessee football player on the Tennessee-Georgia game with his water bottle.
He's going to fit right into the Steelers wide receiver tradition then, because all of them are nutcases.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would just say...
He'll be doing TikToks with a gun.
That's going to be the next upgrade, yeah. I mean,
just going to combine everything. But
Mitch Trubisky sucks.
That's all the Swords wanted to get through. Now, I'll end with the Steelers on this. They still got a very good defense with a lot of pieces coming back that weren't there for the majority of last year. They added Levi Wallace from Buffalo. They brought back Akello Witherspoon. They got depth at cornerback. Their front seven's very good. I think that they can... 8 or 9 wins is their cap. I would be astounded. I will run shirtless, naked, through the streets of Pittsburgh if they won 10 games. That would blow my mind.
You know what the one thing that we're... Like, maybe not next year, but, like, going forward, they have Deshaun Watson...
Oh, yeah.
Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Like, and they decided to go with Kenny Pickett.
I don't think that's long term. Like, and who knows how many games Watson's playing for the Browns this year.
That's what I said not this year, but I'm saying...
I mean, we don't know what his future's like. Who knows? Deshaun Watson's a huge wild card. You cannot plan for that. And the bad juju of how they handled Baker, who just... I hope the best for that guy, because it's just... What they did to Baker in the last few months is just... Not a good thing. Not a good way of doing business.
I'm fine if I never hear from Baker Mayfield again.
Like, disagree. I hope he winds up in Houston and balls out. That's my...
Oh, well, and that's fine. Like, I don't necessarily have anything personal against Baker Mayfield. I just think he's a crybaby.
No, I'm a Baker guy.
Well, I mean, like, look at Jimmy Garoppolo. Yes. Look at Jimmy Garoppolo. There is a way to act professional in the NFL, and there is a way to not. And Jimmy has shown time and time again that as much as you could say about how much you maybe would like him to be a better quarterback in certain aspects of his game, the dude is a stone-cold Subway representative professional.
Subway representative.
Those commercials are incredible.
Never seen one. Is he does Subway commercials?
Yeah, oh, so cringy.
Is it local?
No,
Sam
no,
Fran?
No, first off, they're not cringy. They're good. They're funny.
let me plug in my computer real quick.
The first commercial was like him doing, like they're doing like an Italian sub, and he's like, this sub's as good as my Nona used to make or something like that. And it just like went to this Italian lady, and she's like, I don't even cook. So
that's wild. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Evan, while Jarrett's getting ready here, I want to throw this at you.
He is wrestling with his laptop.
He is he is a wrestling guy, so he might be wrestling. Oh, Jared,
about wrestling guys?
I said you're wrestling with your laptop.
Yes.
Oh.
I
got Jeff Hardy right there.
There you go.
Always watching over my shoulder.
Swanton always waiting to happen. Peter King had a really good piece. I love reading his stuff on Monday mornings for NBC Sports, formerly of SI. He had this little... I pulled this from the story that he used when he was talking to another GM. And this has to do with receivers, and it speaks to what you guys were talking about earlier with A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks in Tennessee. So from the article, King quotes a anonymous GM in the NFL, and he said, quote, I could see the receiver position becoming like running backs. Get as much out of the receiver in his first contract, and then after 4 or 5 years, let him go and draft another one high. There are so many good receivers now, I'm not sure they're all going to get paid going forward. You're nodding your head, Jarrett. What do you think of that quote from that GM?
Yeah, no, that I think that we're seeing that around the league. Whether it's Kansas City dealing Tyreek Hill, whether it's the Titans dealing A.J. Brown, receivers are just becoming a dime a dozen at this point. There's so many good ones that come out every year. I will say this, though. The fact that we're finding more and more, like DK Metcalf was a third-round pick. Deontay Johnson was a third-round pick. Terry McLaurin didn't go in the first round. Like, aside from very few exceptions, like Justin Jefferson, who played really well, and Jamar Chase, even Justin Jefferson is playing well. The Vikings haven't won anything with him. Like, you can, if you're a team who needs a receiver, you can wait till these second, third rounds and get really good talent. And... you know, I think that we're going to start seeing a lot more of that where, you know, instead of paying a guy like a Tyreek Hill, you know, you can kind of risk it, trade him away, get a good haul of picks, and then see if one of those hit on another good receiver. You know, they just drafted Sky Moore, the Chiefs did. We'll see how he pans out. But yeah, no, I 100% agree. And it, look, it's not fair per se, you know, especially for a guy like A.J. Brown, who has been, you know, alongside with Derrick Henry, the heartbeat of that Titans offense for the past few years. But look, you know, he'll get paid in Philadelphia. He'll get rewarded for it. He's just getting rewarded for it by a different team. Now, it definitely doesn't help that, you know, the Jaguars reset the wide receiver market by giving a third receiver $20 million a year. But, you know, I do think that as receivers become more and more easy to find in terms of top talent, top young talent especially, yeah, we're going to see them become more less of a premium in terms of getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that what the way he said it is true and that it's going to reset the entire... No, I don't think, though. I think that exists within the running back group because the running back position as a whole sees significant more wear and tear on the player, oh, period. So do I think that this is going to be a more prominent thing? Sure, right? We saw it this season. I think it'll happen again. But overall, I think the receiver position will be easier to sign contracts than the running back position, which I think is essentially what he's trying to compare it to, period. I think we're in the process right now of seeing some very specific situations, right? Like Tyreek Hill... him leaving, you know, I don't know that was all just money. I think, you know, he already had a ring, right? Like they did have a lot of success. They were like looking to, you know, continue that success that the team has. A.J. Brown straight up didn't want to, you know, deal with the team. He was like, I'm, you know, like, here's what I want. Here's the money. And then the team was like, no, we're not going to pay you, period. Right? They never even made an offer for $20 million. So like, if Deebo were to get traded, I would maybe say, okay, yeah, we're there too. But I think the 49ers are still working on a deal with Deebo, and they're want him to sign, and even that, though that goes against the argument that the guy's trying to say. I think there's a couple situations that was like, this might be weird, but I don't think it's a long-standing effect we're going to see overall.
Jared, do you think it's like an 11 personnel thing a little bit, because you just need three guys now a lot of times, or sometimes four guys, where just allocating that much money to one of the spots? Somebody's not sure about that. But I wonder how much of it is that, like, it kind of speaks to that argument about paying running backs, is like a lot of teams, you need a multiple running backs, because you're not going to bet on them to be able to do the Derrick Henry thing for 17 games plus a playoff run. It's just not, it's not realistic. And I wonder if part of that is in their line of thinking, where they're like, look, man, I wonder if it's partly that, but it's also like, if you're a Patriots fan, you're like, well, we don't have a choice. We have not been able to draft and develop a receiver in the Bill Belichick area. Like, we've gone through so many Chad Jacksons in our lives that, like, that's just not Kimbrel Tompkins, Aaron Dotson. Like, it just, you can go up and down the list, and it doesn't work for them. And not everyone can be the Steelers or the Bengals, where they just draft some all-pro guys seemingly every year, and they just know how to draft and develop and get a lot out of them when they're on their rookie contracts. And Ja'Marr Chase was an absolute steal for the Bengals, and having T. Higgins in the contract that he's currently on for Cincinnati, where he'd be a number one in a lot of teams. Like, that obviously benefits teams who are trying to win now, where they don't have to allocate that money and they can put it somewhere else instead of the receiver room. But I just think it's one of those things where I think it's a team by team perspective. And I think there's not this universal structure that you have to have in terms of paying receivers. But I do think it's like one of those things where it's like, everyone can't be the Rams, and your lesson from the Rams and how Les Snead has built that team should not be, oh, that's how we got to pivot, that's what we should try and emulate. It's like, well, most of the times that will end up in flames. Like, most of the times that will not work, that strategy. But it worked for them, which is fine, because it's different. But the strategy of getting out of receiver contracts before they become toxic or before it becomes a problem, I think will work for more teams, but that doesn't mean it should be the case universally. Does that make sense?
Well, I think I like the whole personnel thing that you brought up, because the perfect example for this is a team like Baltimore, mm-hmm. who don't necessarily run through their receivers. They just traded away Marquise Brown. I had Matt Verderam fan sided on my show today, and he gave me a stat. You know how many combined receiving yards the current depth chart of Ravens receivers has? I think it's 1,022. You know how much Rashad Bateman accounts for?
Ooh.
550 of it. He counts for more than half of the entirety of the career receiving yards for the current Ravens depth chart.
Well, I mean, so, they're a running team, so.
And I think that plays into what Chase is saying. You know, if you're a team like Baltimore who runs through your running backs and your tight ends, you're not necessarily worried about the receiver position too much. Mm. You can get it, you know, a serviceable guy or a couple serviceable guys to be, you know, your main quote-unquote targets as receivers. Mm. But that team runs through the running backs and Mark Andrews. And obviously what Lamar Jackson does. So if you're more like a team who, let's say the Rams, who live and die by what Cooper Kupp does, what Robert Woods is doing, what Van Jefferson is doing, they just brought in Allen Robinson. Like, for them, like, I'm intrigued to see what they're going to end up paying Cooper Kupp and what that comes to and how that's going to reshape everything. Cause we've seen them go through different things where they paid Brandon Cooks, they paid Todd Gurley, they paid Jared Goff. I'm interested to see how they do with this next cycle of guys, because Cooper Kupp is in there, and it's going to be interesting to see how they attack this whole, you know, thought on the receiver position.
Yeah, I think so. Giants, they released James Bradbury, who is a good player and someone that they I think would like to still have. Where do you think he goes, and how much does this hurt the Giants in 2022, Jarrett?
Dave Gettleman should be arrested, first of all. Everything that he did to that team is just criminal. That said, I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of teams that want James Bradbury. He is a good player. I would keep an eye on the Raiders, who could use a little bit of help at cornerback, especially when the rest of the AFC West has decided to stockpile different players like they're Infinity Stones. So, yeah, I think that James Bradbury to Vegas could be something to watch out for. Maybe Pittsburgh, I mean, they could use, you know, one more defensive piece, but I think the Raiders is one that I would, if I had to bet on where he'd go, I think Vegas would be a pretty good bet.
Do you think he's a fit potentially in San Francisco, Evan, or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he would be a great fit in San Francisco, and they don't do it. as is the way of life in San Francisco. Of course, I think having him next to Chardavius Ward would be dope, mm-hmm. and it would be great to have. And I'm, you know, I don't ever want to see Donte Johnson on the field with San Francisco 49ers again. If you guys don't know who Donte Johnson is, that means that the world for you is normal. But for me, Donte Johnson is this barely serviceable cornerback that has been just, I mean, literally for the last 6 years, signing and getting cut and signing and get it cut. And like, I would just like that depth chart to just like get a little bit better to knock him out. Mm-hmm. So he can just retire. He's had a good NFL career that would not exist for the 49ers. And I think, yeah, Bradbury would be like, it would be great in that scheme. I mean, he would love, absolutely love the help that the defensive line would give them. I mean, he would just, it would be an incredible scheme for him to be in. It would be an incredible defense for him to be in. And he has star talent all around him. It'd be dope.
Indianapolis could be a team to watch out for too. I mean, ooh. I know that they already added Gilmore, but you know, for a team like that, who I think is going to be relying on their run game and their defense to try to make any sort of run. I mean, you can never have enough good defensive backs.
Chargers too.
Why the hell not? Yeah, the rich can get richer here. Why not?
Yeah.
You can never have, like, if you're a contender, you can never have too many corners. No. Like, you can never have too many. Absolutely not. Just look at the Eli Apple snaps for the Cincinnati Bengals this past year. That might be the difference.
They re-signed him too.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have much of a choice. Like, there's not a lot of depth there. They just have to, I don't know. We'll see. The Bengals secondary is an interesting conundrum. I think the safety spots are in good shape. I think they're set there for at least another year. The corner depth, though, a little.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Jesse Bates and Von Bell are both very good.
Yeah,
both
of them, and then they just drafted Dax Hill.
Yeah, they did. And both of them are going to, look, both of them ball it out in their run to the Super Bowl. Like, there's this weird myth that Joe Burrow played, like, was the one who carried them to the Super Bowl. Like, down the stretch, their defense is what got them there, especially in the Tennessee game, because Joe Burrow was sacked 97 times.
Yeah.
But yeah. And look, it's a pain because I know that Bengals fans wanted to see Jesse Bates get an extension. This could very well be his final year in Cincinnati. And the fact that they just drafted Dax Hill kind of speaks more to that. But regardless, you know, he deserves his flowers for how well he played, especially against Kansas City. Both of them are very good.
Last thing, and we'll do our main event here. ESPN Monday Night Football doubleheaders are a thing. We know we're getting that week two for sure. I think they haven't announced more than that, but it seems like that is something we're going to see more of. Evan, what do you make of that? A double dipping on Monday Night Football is another thing to draw up interest on the ESPN Monday Night product.
I don't know if it's like drawing up interest. Is it just a matter of that is the way of the world? The NFL is the most dominant sport. Let's get, come on, guy. Get that video. Why is that so blurry? Yeah, this is what the podcast people want to hear. Me trying to adjust my video because it won't. There. Oh, maybe. Okay, great.
Where's Puddle of Mud when you need him?
Great song. You know, the NFL is the most dominant sport, period. It's not even close. And I think, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, Christmas games. Mm. Now this, like, I want to see a world where we can get as much football as possible while also not terrorizing the bodies of these players. And I know that's really hard to balance. I thought that the Thursday game was kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. I would prefer just a Friday game. I would prefer Friday games instead of Thursday. The reason why, I don't care about your high school football or whatever weird shit you're going to say there.
How dare you?
I don't care at all.
High school football is king, sir.
Dude, no.
It's royalty. Has to be protected at all costs.
Yeah, it does. It has to be protected. Listen, the dads, the students, and the moms can all go watch their little kids play football. Mm-hmm. The rest of the world can go and watch the NFL.
No, we gotta preserve the ambiance and just the beautiful pureness that is high school football on Friday Night Lights in the South.
Nothing is gonna change though.
No, it's sacred. Saturdays are for college football until bowl season, and Fridays are for high school football. Like, NFL gets every other day. You just gotta stay away from Friday and Saturday.
No. Absolutely not. They don't have to do anything. They are the most dominant team in sport, you know, the most dominant sport in the world, and they absolutely don't have to. They could have every day if they wanted to, if they thought they could get away with it, but they physically cannot do that to players.
I wish they would just get rid of the Thursday game altogether, because the Thursday games suck. I'm not a fan of Thursday.
It should be Friday. It's
should no, no, be no. Friday. I want Sunday and Monday. That's all I need.
Sunday and Monday too. Yeah, but I'm saying they're going to get their extra day.
I miss the days of just Sunday and Monday games. Those were the days. I'm not a Thursday night football fan. I do not like it. Now, granted, it does start the weekend sooner and gives us something else to talk about, I guess. So it's nice for that respect. But no, I think that the only Thursday that should feature NFL football is Thanksgiving. It makes it feel more special. That said, I'm looking forward to Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. I think they're going to do very well. This is the best lineup of primetime commentation teams that we've had maybe ever, because it got Herbstreit and Michaels. And then Sunday we'll have Tirico and Collinsworth. And then Monday night we get Buck and Aikman. Like, that's a hell of a lineup for primetime games. Like, primetime football is going to be very well commentated, which I'm very happy about.
And they still haven't announced who the number one broadcast booth is going to be on Fox, right?
I think it's going to be
Burkhart and
Kevin
someone.
Burkhart. Yeah,
but I don't
probably
know if they...
Greg Olson.
He was good. I hope it's Greg.
I think
was
it's
going to
be
year.
Olson. Yeah. If there's anybody who deserves it, it would be Olsen. And I would have liked to see somebody like Kenny Albert get it, because I do love Kenny Albert. I think that he's very good. You know what I would love to see is if Klatt and Gus Johnson just decided to take the NFL spot. That would make me so happy, just to have Gus Johnson be the voice of the most important game of the NFC every week. That would make me very happy.
Yeah.
Agreed. I wouldn't hate that. To wrap, I want to get y'all's perspective on this, and this is right up Evan's alley. So, I want to, now that the draft is over,
is
a lot of trades
card?
Are done, we have a pretty good idea of where we're at, with the NFC West. Evan, if you had to do your 1-4 post-draft in the NCIS, great show, the NFC West, how would you do it on May 9th, 2022?
So who is the best teams or the best draft?
Who do you think right now, when you look at the rosters, post-draft, post-free agency, where they're at, how would you rate?
Seahawks number four. Let's get that out of the way. Honestly, I will forever be optimistic about the quarterback position of the San Francisco 49ers. For better or for worse, that is the thing that I've been doing since the day I was born, and it just built in me. I will defend Alex Smith, I will defend Colin Kaepernick, and I will defend Jimmy Garoppolo, and now here I am, to no surprise, defending Trey Lance. So if Trey Lance comes in this year and does above average, if he lives up to 80% of what we think he can do in this second year, I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFC West. Genuinely. I think they right now, they have, if you don't consider the quarterback, like, other than the quarterback position, they have a significantly better roster than the Rams. I don't care. I absolutely believe that. They just lost Andrew Whitworth. They just lost, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that. They did add some things, yes, but I believe they have a better roster. And I think if Trey comes in, and remember, all he has to do is do better than Jimmy Garoppolo. That's it. That's all he has to do. If he can run a little bit, if he has a little bit more of a deep pass than Jimmy had, if he can open up some of those plays that Kyle hasn't been able to use, I think you see an offense that already was outstanding. On top of that, they added another running back to a team that, Kyle basically all of last year didn't have his run game going the way he is. And that's when Kyle's at his best, when he has his run game going the way he wants. So if Trey Lance does the bare minimum, I think they're the better team. That said, if Trey Lance, which he absolutely could do, struggles, or maybe it's just not ready, maybe he needs some actual game time because of the things we've talked about before, coming from a team where he only played so much in college, right? Didn't play last year. If he does struggle, then we'll say the Rams. And I can tip my cap to that. They won the Super Bowl. Not a problem admitting that. But the Seahawks are last. The Cardinals are third. There's too much going on with that team in general. I think they're a good team, but I think the Niners have the best roster. the Rams have continuity. They just won the Super Bowl. You know, they added some pieces, even though they lost some pieces. They're both in really good positions. I think the Cardinals were never really, really at the level of like Super Bowl competing, like contention. Like they could get there. And now you have the whole Kyler Murray situation this offseason. That's kind of still lingering. I'm very comfortable putting them at third.
Mm. What about you, Jarrett?
The Rams are one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matthew Stafford's fantastic. They just added Allen Robinson to go along with Cooper Kupp and Van Jefferson. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, they've lost pieces. Losing Whitworth isn't, you know, ideal, obviously. But you know, they knew that this was going to be happening eventually. But they also added Bobby Wagner to go along with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. So to me, like, they're just star-studded.
Bobby Wagner was bad last year. It was not great.
We can agree to disagree on certain things, I suppose. Like, look, Bobby Wagner has carried a god-awful Seattle defense for a long time, and eventually that was going to weigh on him as he gets older. I think the fact that he's going to have a lot more support around him in Los Angeles is going to help him elevate his game.
Right.
I mean, they're still star-studded. Maybe not as deep as other teams, but when it comes to, you know, they've got the best head coach in the division. McVay's fantastic. I think they're the best run team in terms of organization. Like, I think Les Snead's been a fantastic GM.
What makes him better than Kyle?
Well, he's had more success than Kyle Shanahan.
Do you think the 49ers would have won a Super Bowl last year if they got Matt Stafford? Because the Niners almost beat the Rams and went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo.
If the script was flipped, do I think... if the 49ers had Stafford and the Rams had Garoppolo, is that what you're asking me, or is it just...
The Niners were a couple plays away from the Super Bowl. They beat them in the season, right? Like, if the Rams last year had Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners had Matt Stafford, the Niners would have boat raced the Rams. I think Sean McVay is an incredible coach. And I think long-term will be as good as any coach, period. But Kyle Shanahan owns that man.
I think that's a
weird
argument.
The numbers are there.
I think that that's a weird argument to make just because, like, that... You could say that for anything, though. Like, okay, if McVay had a worse quarterback and Shanahan had a much better quarterback. I think they're both like near. There's not like a giant, like a mile distance between. I think they're both very close.
What we're talking about though is how they've consistently beat the Rams despite the absurdity of the quarterback position that has been in San Francisco, you know, for however many years. I mean, that was their first win against the 49ers in like what?
Well, let's not act as if the Rams were loaded at the quarterback position either. They were fielding Jared Goff. So
right. Yeah, and that's my point, though. Like, it wasn't until they got Matt Stafford that they were able to win one of the games. And I think Matt Stafford's an incredible quarterback. But the argument is whether or not... You said Sean McVay is the best coach in the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. He learned from Kyle.
Well, that's fun. You could say that Kyle's better. I'll say that McVay's better.
That's fair. And that's why I love you. We are very capable of disagreeing with each other. That's fine.
And regardless, like, I'm not going to even argue too much saying that Shanahan's a better coach. Like, I don't think that there's much distance between the two. So, I mean, you can make a case for either one. I personally would choose McVay. And, like, if I was starting a team now and I had to pick between the two, I would choose McVay.
I think the more important thing is just that, like, do you have a coach that you know can win a Super Bowl? And and, I mean, that's all you really want is, are they a game changer in that regard? Are they someone that, because if you're, another thing I think about is, like, if you're, coordinators get picked off, are you still okay with this guy leading your team? And it's like McVay's gone through the coordinator cycle and been fine. Sure. Shanahan's gone through the coordinator cycle and been fine. I think that matters a lot more than people give credence to. Is like, are you okay when you get pulled and when you get pillaged throughout the league? I think right now I go one Rams, I go two Niners, I go three Seahawks. And four Cardinals.
Chase.
So, here's the thing. Pete Carroll, I believe in back-to-back bad years?
Nah, dude.
They draft Charles Cross, left tackle. We'll see what Abraham Lucas is at the right tackle spot. You still have Metcalf. You still have Lockett.
Why are you doing this?
How long are they going to have Metcalf, though? Like, that's not.
Well, I think he's there for this year at least, and he's going to see how this year goes.
Why are we talking about Drew Lock?
So here's the thing. The Cardinals are extremely combustible right now. Hopkins is missing how many of the first, what is it, six or seven?
It looks like six, but he's going to appeal.
Okay.
That is, by the way, we didn't talk about that. That's a big deal.
It is 100% sure. A big deal. And Hollywood Brown is a fine player. He is not even in the same stratosphere of importance as DeAndre Hopkins is to that team. Hopkins is like in for every play for the Cardinals. Like, he plays every play for them. Sure. And he's just, I still would, like, if you told me that he was the best receiver in football, like, I would, like, I wouldn't push back too hard against that. So he's gone. The weird stuff with Kyler this offseason. I think there's a lot of pressure on Cliff to expand his offense, to get more imaginative, to use D-Hop in different ways, to use Rondale Moore, the Swiss Army knife they brought him from Purdue this past year, who I liked a lot. He wasn't a factor last year. Isabella obviously didn't work as a downfield guy, but they need to really look different. They need to really prevent a late season just fall down, everything falls apart at the seams. And they're not going to be able to do that because they don't have D-Hop this first party. I just think there's a lot of scenarios, and I don't like the vibe around Arizona right now, where I would bet on the Seahawks going 7-10 and just being painfully average with Drew Lock or Geno, whoever wins that job, with the rest of the pieces they have around them, and could see a just everything goes south and everything goes sour in Arizona. And if it does, then they're going 4-13. They're going like Kyler's asking out. This is going bad, bad. I could see the season from hell for Arizona. Like, that's where I'm at right now. I could see it.
I can see how you're putting that together. Mm. However, Kyler Murray is just violently good. Murray is fantastic when completely healthy. Now, this also, it's going to be important to see how the schedule comes out, because if their first six games are winnable, you know, if they can go 4-2 in their first six, if anything, that could be a net positive for them. You get a fresh D-Hop for the rest of the season, not getting, you know, the wear and tear of six other games. That's big. And not to mention the fact, like, I understand that Chandler Jones is no longer there. Mm. But Chandler Jones, I mean, he's aging right now, and I think that they, you know, they still got Zaven Collins, Buda Baker. Like, they still got guys on that defense as well. James Conner turned out to be a solid pickup and fit in his role very well. So, roster-wise, I would put the 49ers too. But the fact that Kyler Murray, to me, is just fantastic enough to elevate this team, I think the Cardinals, as of right now at least, we'll see how the schedule falls and how, you know, because that matters in terms of, you know, what order they're playing who and how things shape out. But as of right now, I think that the Cardinals would finish with at least the same record as the 49ers. If they both would go 9-8, that wouldn't surprise me. And then the Seahawks, I just think, are a tire fire.
I could see, just, it's funny, the Cardinals. It would not surprise me if they won the division this fall, and it would not surprise me if they were last and everyone got fired in their cleaning house. Sure. And Kyler's out on a new team next year. Like, none of that would surprise me.
Come on, guys. Like, I know I hate the Seahawks. Well, I used to, really. At this point, it's kind of sad. But, like, Drew Lock is bad. Can we just, like, take the audio of me talking about Mitch Trubisky? And
he
just,
might,
like,
be better than Trey Lance, though, in 2022. It's a possibility.
It is a possibility. Like, see, that's the
what thing. What world do you live in?
Swords, this is why your fan base is starting to irritate me, man, because everybody's just penciling in that Lance is going to be good. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee.
No. No, it has nothing to do with Trey Lance. Drew Lock had an incredible supporting cast around him. He had incredible receivers, and he was still garbage.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll
Cortland Sutton. Remember him?
Yeah.
Pretty decent receiver.
I just could see, like, so you bring in Noah Fant. He knows Noah Fant. He's in the trade. You have Noah Fant, DK Metcalf.
Oh, yeah, that's the great equalizer, Noah Fant.
I like Noah Fant. What I'm saying is you have Fant and Disley, who's a good tight end combination. I like that. You have Metcalf, Lockett, and Dwayne Eskridge, who they drafted in the second round this past year, who I liked a lot coming out. So him and Freddie Swain, we'll see who wins that slot job.
Bowl, I liked him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just look at...
I don't think the Seahawks' offensive skill, like, their skill talent is that
bad.
Skill
talent's fine. It's just the quarterback position is a giant question mark, which is never a great
thing. But to your point, Jarrett, Evan is penciling in the quarterback situation in San Francisco.
And I are on the same team there, Chase. Yeah.
If Trey Lance, if you only were to take his 2.5 games that he played last year, mm-hmm. and you were just to say baseline, average it out, put this in the ether, that's how he'll play for the rest of the season, which I expect him to play much better.
Yeah.
That he is significantly better. Trey Lance last year in either of those games was a better quarterback than Drew Lock.
Wait, I have a question. What if Baker's cut this summer and he signs with the Seahawks outright? What if
they would be doing much better than they were with Drew Lock?
Well, do you like him more?
They would be better with Baker than they would be with Drew Lock. And I don't think Baker's great, but Drew Lock is bad. Hmm. Drew Lock is another Broncos quarterback that you draft. Big, tall, white guy that sucks. They're great at it. They love it.
Big, tall.
They have Drew Lock right now
mm-hmm.
because they had no choice.
Well, it also might just be Geno. They brought back Geno and he was okay.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, so it might be Geno.
But I'm saying,
I just feel like there's a lot more consistency. How am I supposed to
have a serious conversation with you guys when you're talking up Geno Smith and Drew Lock?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you watch both of them. You watch too much football.
I'll talk up Geno just because he quote tweeted one of my tweets last week. So
that,
oh, did he? What was it about?
I started doing a thing where I just tweet out videos, like highlights of random, just amazing quarterback performances. And I did the one where he had a perfect passer rating against the Dolphins in like 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that Rex Ryan here?
And he appreciated that, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got. Jared,
part of me just really hopes that Drew Lock outperforms Trey Lance now, just for the giggles.
Yes.
Dude, even if Trey Lance was mid, was just a very average, like, the Kyle Shanahan scheme alone, the receivers, George Kittle, the running game alone, he'll do better.
If I hear the phrase, the Kyle Shanahan scheme one more time, I'm launching myself into the sun.
You know what? If Kyle Shanahan is the scheme that's sending you there, you're going to get 1,000 yards on the way. What do you...
Nick Mullins is pretty bad in your scheme.
And still broke, like,
CJ Beathard was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a great example. Look what CJ Beathard did the year with George Kittle. One of the worst quarterbacks of all time helped George Kittle break the tight end record.
Mm-hmm.
Raheem Mostert...
The point is that you can be bad in Shanahan's scheme as a quarterback. Like, you can still be bad. Trey Lance can absolutely just be a bad quarterback. We haven't seen anything yet. We don't know.
Trey Lance could absolutely be a bad quarterback, but logic would not...
We're not going to sway him on this. This is why we need Trey Lance to play football games more than any other quarterback in this league.
What have you seen so far to say, I don't think he's going to make it? What have you seen?
It's not that.
That's my point. But that's my.
It's
that's
the
my
certainty
point.
From some Niners fans.
That's the thing. They're certain in the playbook. We're certain in the surroundings. Like, you haven't seen anything bad from Trey Lance. You've seen some things that
I kind of have.
You're seeing some
things. The games last year, it wasn't like he was lighting the league.
The game against Arizona wasn't great. Mm-hmm. The first half against
Houston the game against Arizona where they had him running QB draws.
If he did that behind Rodgers in Green Bay and you plugged him in for those Jordan Love snap, like, I think we have a different tune about
Trey Lance right now. My point is this. The biggest argument so far against Trey Lance is, we haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, just going to assume that he's bad. Like, people just want to, like, they're, like, assuming he's bad because people are confident. Like,
but we're not doing that. You're doing the straw man thing. We're saying we're not doing any of that. You're doing a straw man argument right now.
No. A straw man argument is where I'm saying you are literally right now
saying.
No, you're
inventing an argument.
No.
If
you go back 45 seconds ago, you just said Trey Lance could be bad.
Yes, but that's not what you just said.
What did I just say?
You said that we're saying that he's going to be bad.
And that's not what we're saying.
We're talking about the possibility that it could happen. I'm just simply saying there's
But you're saying people are saying that he could be bad.
But that was the beginning of the show. Rich Gangarola or coaches say that Trey Lance is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't have arm strength, doesn't have long whatever like deep ball accuracy. That was literally the beginning of our show.
Right.
That's someone saying Trey Lance is bad.
Mhm.
let me also just say this. I don't think, like, in the grand scheme of things, all said and done, I think Trey's going to be fine. I think it's just a matter of how long it's going to take him to reach that. That is what will determine how the 49ers season goes. I think they're going to be exactly what they were last year. Slow start, because it's going to take a little bit. There's going to be some growing pains for Trey. And then once he, you know, finds his footing, gains some rhythm and whatnot, I think they'll be around a 9-win team, which is exactly what happened last year. They started off slow and picked it up at the end. I just don't, I believe in more teams in the NFC this year getting a little bit better. So I think that they'll be on the outside looking in, but that's just my opinion.
Jarrett, what can the good folks check out from you on the writing front?
You can check out a lot of stuff, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, check the pod out.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff, actually. So stuff for all 49ers, all Panthers, Bills Central, all of that on Sports Illustrated. Bears Wire, USA Today.
You're just writing about every team now. You're just like, cover every NFL team.
You know what? I just had like this weird epiphany. I just felt like I was doing nothing and I needed to change that. So I just, you know, I reached out to a few different people and asked, hey, if you need help or if you are taking on contributors, you know I'm here. So a few of them were happy to accept me and let me do that. So
yeah. I love the idea of you stepping all over Chase Thomas's turf. I love it. Like, take it over, all of it.
Wait, what is my turf? What is he taking over?
Writing about everything?
No, he's writing about all NFL.
Yeah.
This is a step. This is step one.
Yeah. Oh. Right. Do I need to worry about this, Jarrett? Do I need to be Walter White stay out of my territory?
I'm not writing about basketball anytime soon. So don't you fret.
Wrestling. No Friday
Night Lights.
Yeah, wrestling. I do some wrestling stuff at Fightful every once in a while. So yeah, go check that out as well. Why not help my friends at Fightful? But yeah, 49ers, Panthers, Steelers stuff at Sports Illustrated, USA Today, Fansided, the Pump Fake Pod, just did an episode today with Matt Verderama, Fansided, just talked about the tier list that I did, first of all, which is, I didn't expect that to gain so much traction, but it did, and, you know, Eagles fans and 49ers fans are all mad at me, and Giants fans are singing my praises. So yeah, go check that out as well on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at JBaileyNFL. I guess that's all I got to plug.
There you go. Evan fired the whole staff at 49ers Hub, he announced last week. For the summer.
You actually joke about that, but I don't know. This might not even be a conversation for the podcast, but like...
Let's save it.
I'm just going to say, that whole website needs a revamp.
Oh, man.
I need someone to take it over. Who wants to run a website? Let me know.
Jarrett's right here.
I mean, what are you paying?
I mean, I don't know, because we haven't been paying someone anything, and it doesn't make money. So, you know, there's a conversation to be had about, like, we need to start running ads on it because we've never cared to do it. And then how much, you know, like, there's a whole conversation about what can you do with 15,000 followers and however many views, and, like, what can it be created to a year from now, 2 years, if you're actually paying attention to it. That's where I'm at. Because right now, it's been doing it for fun for so long. And I'm like, there's something there. Like, sure. You could make money off that. Right. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Have your people reach out to my people.
There you go.
All right. Evan, Jarrett, always fun. Thank you so much for making the time. I greatly appreciate it. And we will talk again very soon.
Yeah, right. Cheers, boys. Buddy.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast. Thank you again to Evan and Jarrett for coming on this edition of the podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode and you're not already, make sure you go ahead and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or however you get your podcast so that you never miss a future episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast here at Blue Wire Pods. Go check out all the other great shows across Blue Wire Pods. Greenlight with Chris Long, Spinsters with Haley O'Shaughnessy and Jordan Liggins, all kinds of great stuff. Wide Receiver One with Chris Carter, very stacked cast that we got over at the Blue Wire Pod Network. So go check all those good folks out and all of our great shows all across the network. Don't forget, folks, you can also read me at sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com, sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. Type in your email and make sure you never miss any written content from me. Follow us on YouTube, or subscribe rather. Cannot emphasize that one enough as we keep growing that YouTube page, the Chase Thomas Podcast on YouTube. Share them out, all that good stuff. Keep up with our video content there. Email me at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, new episode coming tomorrow. All that good stuff. It's 2-2 Preds. It's 2-2 Preds Avs as I'm taping this outro for tonight. So We'll see how it goes. And if the Preds have another game, we got Liverpool, Aston Villa tomorrow night. We've got, what else do we got? Braves back later on this week. Vols, big series with the Georgia Bulldogs. Sports all the time. Sports. But anyway, more coming soon all across the board. Finals week still here in grad school at the University of Tennessee. So busy week, busy times, but I appreciate you guys bearing with me in the schedule. As always, new episodes of this very program go up 3 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, every day. So it's there for you guys on your morning commutes. So all that good stuff. Thank you as always, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. Uncle Derek, how'd I do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.